Every 5 minutes, someone dies while waiting for a compatible donor heart, liver, or kidney. On a remote island in Lake Superior, a team of geneticists strive to engineer an animal with human-compatible organs, thereby saving millions of lives. But these ancestors are not the docile herd animals they envision. Instead, the project spawns something big, something evil, something hungry. Ancestor by number one New York Times bestselling novelist Scott Sigler is available for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode of the Sheridan Tapes was made possible by our supporters on Patreon. Angie, Becky Retzer, Palms Campos, and Suzanne Scholes. If you'd like to support the show as well, please go to patreon.com/homesteadcorner. For as little as $1 a month, you get early access to ad-free versions of episodes, a special weekly behind-the-scenes podcast, and patron-only AMA livestreams. Before we get started, this episode contains depictions of existential dread, body horror, and character death, claustrophobia, and some loud noises. Content warnings and a full transcript are available in the show notes.
Morrison! You still down here? Figures. Asshole probably ran the moment things went south. Should have done the same, honestly.
Dad!
Whoa! Oh, god damn it. Don't sneak up on me like that, Morrison.
I wasn't trying to scare you.
Well, you did. Lucky I didn't hit you. What are you still doing down here? What happened?
I was running. Sheridan let the monsters out.
Shit, they're not still down here, are they?
No. They're all gone. Back into the world.
Shouldn't we, I don't know, set up a perimeter? They could be halfway to Arrowhead by now.
They've gone much further than that. Much further. I was a fool to think I could keep them here. Now the door is open.
Morrison, are you... Is everything all right? Morrison? Morrison, we need to... What the hell do I do now?
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Hey, it's Mae Whitman, and I play Frankie in the new Realm podcast, The Sisters. The Sisters is about a museum curator of medical oddities who investigates the origins of a mutated skeleton with two layers of bones. Soon, she uncovers an extraordinary mystery that connects her present with one family's tragic past in hauntingly dangerous ways. Listen to The Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
Right, tape is running. Could everyone state their names and occupations for the record? Anna?
What? Oh, right. Anna Sheridan, writer and,
Writer is fine for now. Dr. Caldwell?
Dr. Daniela Caldwell, head of experimental research, ISFA Laboratories.
David Robinson, research assistant, experimental projects, ISFA.
Mr., Dunwell?
Don, oh. Craig's fine if you insist on putting my name on your tapes. Though I kind of say I'm all in favor of it.
Craig, just...
No. I'll go along with it. I didn't choose to be here for your fancy words. I came here for Anna's sake, and no one else.
Duly noted, Mr. Donnell. And what is your occupation?
Writer. Same as Anna. Researcher into the wee folk and their histories. Did I say something funny, Mr. Robinson?
A little bit, yeah.
Because if I'm not mistaken, we're all here on account of Anna. And even if you use different words for it, what she studies is no less strange than the fairies I write about.
No one's saying it's not, Mr. Donnell. My colleague spoke out of turn.
Hell, I did.
Please continue, Dr. Park.
Right. My name is Dr. Wren Park of the Institute for Stellar Propulsion, Heuristics, and...
Wren?
Lead researcher, Experimental Projects Division. I oversee some of ISFA's more... unconventional lines of inquiry.
You can say that again.
While I'm aware that some of you may be skeptical about Miss Sheridan and Mr. Donnell's fields of study, let me assure you that they've both furnished empirical evidence of their claims to this institute on several occasions. If anyone wishes to question their place on this team, I suggest you take it up with myself or Dr. Caldwell before we go further.
No, I'm fine.
I'm sure you are. Wren?
All yours, Dr. Caldwell.
Thank you. I know some of you have doubts about this project, but let me assure you, if what we're searching for is even remotely possible, then this investigation may change not only our understanding of physics, but the future prospects of humanity as a species. Each member of this team has been carefully selected for their specific set of skills, along with their perspective on both the scientific and the supernatural. If you feel skeptical about your place here, that is intentional. Whether you believe it or not, your role on this expedition will be vital to its success.
This was the first meeting of the team ISFA assembled to investigate Anna's predictive abilities, taking place in Ventura, California on January 14, 2018. The team consisted of two ISFA staff members, Dr. Daniela Caldwell and Mr. Robinson, and two private contractors selected by Anna, herself and Mr. Craig Donnell, a nonfiction author and expert in folklore and mythology. This meeting occurred shortly after we determined that Anna was able to make meaningful predictions of the future. And
slow down a second.
Do you have a question, Kate?
More like 100.
I understand there might be some confusion, Several recordings were lost during the expedition, but I'll do my best to fill in any gaps in the record as we go.
But how did Anna predict the future? How do you even test something like that?
Well, during the years preceding her disappearance, Anna began to suspect that some of her more disturbing dreams were more than just nightmares. She mentioned this to me at several points, and eventually I proposed that we put her theory to the test. We conducted a number of sleep studies, cognitive tests, and attempts to initiate lucid dreaming in one of the medical labs here at Merryweather. At the end of these, we had a prediction that could be objectively and definitively tested. I passed this information along to Dr. Caldwell, and once it was confirmed, she...
Wait, what did she predict?
A supernova. The explosion of a neutron star nearly a billion light years from Earth. Impossible to guess, impossible to predict ahead of time. And yet she did, right down to the day. This told us two things. One, Anna was able to make tangible, provable, and accurate predictions about future events. And two, that she was right to be worried about what she saw.
The end of the world.
The end of the world. An apocalypse triggered by some kind of supernatural disruption affecting the entire planet. That was the one constant, going back to her earliest nightmares. Dr. Caldwell was skeptical at first, but she'd never been afraid to push past her own doubts. Still, she felt we needed more evidence to confirm Anna's ability. So she proposed an arrangement. We would test one of Anna's earlier visions in the field to make sure the supernova wasn't a coincidence. This next tape is taken from that expedition, soon after the team arrived at base camp near the Babia Gora Massif on the Slovakia-Poland border.
Anna Sheridan, recording for ISPA Internal Records, Daily Log. January 20th, 2018, 1724 CET. We landed at KRK earlier today after an unexpected layover in Heathrow. Apparently, it's a bit of a gamble to fly into Central Europe in the middle of winter. We picked up our supplies in Krakow and made it to base camp before it really started getting dark, and the local guides had already set up the tents when we arrived. It's still tenting on the side of a mountain in January, but it won't be nearly as bad as some of the backpacking trips I've done. The canvas and plywood flooring do a remarkable job of keeping the cold out, and once we got the heaters going, they warmed up nicely. We don't have the fuel to keep them on all the time, and the weather will make the solar generators nearly useless, but we're sure as hell going to make the best of them when we can. The cots are a pretty nice upgrade too, though I doubt I'll be sleeping much, even with the jet lag. I've been having...
You gonna join us anytime soon, Anna? Gonna keep David off the rest of that ball all night?
I think you can manage until I'm done with this.
Taping yourself again?
Need to keep a record of the expedition, Ren insisted.
I hardly think they need it to.
You should be recording too if you have time. I'll try to be thorough, but I might miss a few things
you... Aye, if you say so. I'll try and save you a drink if I can.
Don't bother. You know I can't stand vodka.
I told you, it's not vodka. It just smells like it.
Honestly, I'm glad Craig's here. Between the four of us, he's the most well-balanced. Caldwell's nothing if not professional, but I know obsession when I see it. And Robinson's, well, he doesn't really care what we find, so long as we find it quickly. But Craig believes it. At least, he believes that I believe it, and that's enough. Truth be told, though, I'm really not sure if I do. Not completely. But I need someone in my corner, at least for now. That being said, I don't know exactly what we're looking for. My dreams are always a little sparse when it comes to specifics. All I know is that whatever it is, it's here on Babia Gora, the Old Witch's Mountain, literally translated. It has something to do with corrosion and evolution, or maybe transformation. I'm not sure. The rest of the dream was just a mess of dark shapes and bad vibes, but it was the only one where I was able to pick out an actual location. It definitely seems like the right kind of place. Craig was very keen to point out that a lot of the local folklore points to this mountain as the location of the witch's Sabbath. I don't know about witches, but it does feel a lot like some of the other mountains I've had encounters on. Like it's the opposite of a holy mountain. A place where the barriers between worlds are thin, but what's on the other side is a little less than friendly. Even so, I'm not convinced we're looking in the right place. There must be something to my dreams, so there must be something here. But if there is, if we find what we're looking for up the mountain tomorrow, then I don't know what that means for me, for all of us. I still haven't told them everything. Not Wren, not Caldwell or Robinson, and definitely not Craig. I can't tell him. I want to be honest with him, but I don't know if it would help right now. It's certainly not helping me. God, I need that drink.
Four gates on this goddamn mountain. What do we have to show for it? Tight roofs and a risk of frostbite.
You think 4 days on this mountain is long enough to keep anything? We've hardly started looking.
Yeah, well, some of us have got more important work we'd like to get back to.
And what do you mean by that, Mr. Robinson?
All I'm saying is that Dr. Caldwell and I don't spend months on top of a mountain looking for ghosts or goblins or whatever the hell you two claim to see out here. We're scientists, for Christ's sake.
Oh, is that so? I've seen things that would scare the skeptic right out of you. Believe you me, you'll ken how deep the dark goes if what we're done.
Dr. Caldwell, can you please give me some backup here?
Not right now, I can't. I'm a little busy trying not to get blown off this mountain.
Could you at least tell me you don't believe in ghosts or monsters or whatever we're supposed to be looking for here?
No, I don't believe in ghosts.
Thank you.
But Anna did make a prediction that is scientifically impossible. Either she's incredibly lucky, or there's something beyond our understanding going on here. I have to figure out what it is before we leave this mountain. Understood?
Yes, Dr. Caldwell.
You're right, Anna.
What?
Are you okay? You're being awful quiet up there.
Yeah, I'm fine. Just distracted.
Have you been sleeping any better since we got here?
No, I haven't.
Bad dreams. Anna!
Oh, shit. I must have bumped into... Anna Sheridan, Daily Log, January 31st, 2018, recorded at 1832 CET. We've been on the mountain for 16 days now, far longer than we anticipated, but still within the acceptable range. We're supplied for at least a month, longer if we decide to start rationing, and while the roads to Babi Agora are closed, we can still be resupplied by snowmobile if needed. I'm not worried about the supplies, though, and neither is Dr. Caldwell. What I'm more worried about is the weather. Most of the northern slope is completely exposed to the elements, and conditions can change extremely quickly. I'm starting to see why people call this place the mother of bad weather. But I'm honestly more concerned.
Sheridan! Sheridan! I want a word with you.
Of course you fucking do. What is it?
I want to see your journal now.
Absolutely not.
We've been stuck on this mountain for half a month because of your dreams. The least you could do is let us know what we're supposed to be looking
for. What part of absolutely not did you miss? No, you can't look at my journal. It's private.
If it concerns the team, it shouldn't be.
Well, it is. Look, if you're so skeptical about my dreams, why do you want to know about them?
I don't. But if I know what we're supposed to be looking for, we can get off this mountain faster. That's all I care about.
Do you really think I'd keep that to myself if I knew?
You're holding something back. Whether it's about your dreams or something else.
Robinson. I suggest you take a step back before I find something heavy in here and make you.
Is that a threat, Donald? We both know you wouldn't hurt a fly.
I think you'd best consider the difference between someone threatening me and someone threatening a friend of mine.
I'm not threatening anyone. I'm just...
David, a word, if you please.
Shit. Anna, what's wrong?
Nothing, Craig. I don't want to talk about it. I said...
Aye, I heard you. I'm just gonna sit here is all. If you didn't want to talk, that's fine.
What the hell am I doing out here?
The same thing you're always doing. Looking for answers to questions most people didn't think to ask, like as not find them.
I don't know if I want answers this time. Not to these questions.
What, are you afraid your dreams are portents? Well, I can't think of any prophet who was happy to...
No, Craig. That's not what I'm scared of. If I'm wrong, if my dreams don't mean anything and I've sent us all up here for nothing, then I'm just delusional. People have called me that all my life. I can live with it. But if it's true, if I really can predict the future...
Are you so afraid of your nightmares that you let them stop you from living? That doesn't sound like the Anna Sheridan I can.
It's not those dreams I'm worried about, Craig.
Then, what is it?
Whatever Anna said to Mr. Donnell after that point is lost, as we found no records of that conversation in either Anna's notes or the recordings kept by Mr. Donnell. At this point, Dr. Caldwell was aware that the team was growing dangerously unstable, and they would need to conclude their mission one way or another before interpersonal tensions boiled over. As such, she ordered an expanded search pattern the next day, pushing further up the northern slope and spreading the party members out along a wider stretch. They were instructed to remain within visual range of one another at all times, but that proved impossible when an unexpected snowstorm arrived and reduced visibility to less than 10 feet. This tape is vital to a complete understanding of the events on Bobby Agora, but I know you've all just endured a very traumatic experience. If any of you would like to leave the room for the next few minutes, I would advise you to do so.
What do you think? Bill, you've probably had the hardest time of all of us. Are you sure you want to...
I ain't afraid of no ghost, Sam. I can handle it.
It's not about being scared, Bill. Whatever's on that tape might...
Look. I'm fine. Just play the tape already.
Would anyone else prefer not to listen? All right. This tape comes from later in the day, after weather conditions had worsened dramatically, and Dr. Caldwell ordered an early return to base camp. While there are a number of written field notes from both Dr. Caldwell and Mr. Robinson, this is the final relevant audio recording from the expedition.
Anna Sheridan Project Update. Recorded in the field February 1st, 2018 at 1400 CET. Or at least that was the time when my watch stopped working. I must have hit it on a rock at some point. I got separated from the rest of the team earlier. I was trying to reconnect with them when I felt the ground shake. I don't know if it was an earthquake or a lightning strike, but I looked up and saw a wall of snow barreling down on me. I just managed to duck inside a nearby cave entrance, but the avalanche completely buried it before I could get out. I tried chipping at the snow with my ice axe, but there was just too much for me to dig out on my own. Thankfully, I still had a headlamp, so I've been looking for another way out ever since. The cave is fairly extensive. and I'm pretty sure it's not supposed to be here. The entrance wasn't on any of the maps I saw, at least. And I'm pretty sure I've... That's the third time I've heard that voice down here. I mostly started recording to see if it's picked up by the tape or not. If so, then I can finally have proof of what's going on down here and shut David up a bit. If I ever make it out of here, that is. And if he didn't get caught in the avalanche, too. Dr. Caldwell did say there was a risk going up the mountain in this weather. I just hope they're all okay. But right now I need to focus on getting out. The air smells fresh and doesn't seem to be thinning out, so there must be another exit somewhere. I've been marking my path with the grease pencil, so I should be able to find my way back if I get turned around. Speaking of which, I can't let myself get too distracted recording this. So far, there's only been one or two turnoffs, but I've been trying to find one that leads back up towards the surface of the mountain. Trying and failing. They all seem to curve back in on themselves, and the further I go, the more they seem to slope down. I would be more worried about getting further underground if this all didn't feel so oddly familiar. I think I might have seen this place before. Thinking back on it, it might have been a... I think whatever's whispering is through here. There's a thin gap in the wall of the cave, and there's a light on the other side. Not sunlight, but a faint blue. Some kind of bioluminescence, maybe? Or I might be about to crawl into another supernatural hotspot. Why did I have to lose the Skeptic Squad before I found this? Okay, that's a tight squeeze, but I've made it through worse. Just keep pushing. And there. Made it. Made it. For someone who hates caves as much as I do, I seem to spend an ungodly amount of time in. Holy shit. Okay, this was definitely not on the map. I don't think it's on any map. It's a large grotto with a deep central pool, fed by an underground stream that seems to originate from one of the tunnels leading off the chamber. The ceiling is about 8 or 9 feet high with a number of large stalactites, but... Well, the reason I can see all that is because there are large patches of glowing mushrooms growing around the pool and along the cavern wall. There must be some geothermal activity in this cave, too, since there's no sunlight to...
She saw the fruit. Good to eat.
Greg?
And Adam, standing
Greg?
By, could not
what are you doing down here? Is there another way down?
Lest they die.
Did you find some other way into the cave when the avalanche...
Joining, yet still.
Adam
and Eve in their mouth know the mind of
please,
God.
Please, Greg.
The Father of God.
Please find this.
The Prophet.
Please
God.
Don't be.
And the word is spoken to you. Let
Greg, listen.
Remember well
it's me.
These words.
It's Anna.
That the Prophet
you can
new
come
home
back.
Once more. The
you
promise.
You don't have to give in to this thing.
Stand
you can beat it.
Against the roots
I know
of
you
heaven.
Can.
Resist
you're
not.
Stronger than
the
this.
Union of bliss.
We can figure
be
it
one,
out.
All the same. And remember the name of time and creation's kiss.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
The source of all that was and was not and will be again is within me and without me and beyond me and below me and before me.
Are you all right?
While Anna didn't stop recording at any point during this confrontation, her recorder ran out of tape at that moment. She did not make another recording until she returned to the United States several months later. While the death of a Scottish national during an American expedition on the border of two European nations had the potential to become an international incident, the autopsy conducted by the ECDC determined the cause of death to be infection by the unknown fungus within the cave, as it caused significant nerve damage and possibly brain death several hours before the flare gun fired by Mr. Robinson burnt out a large portion of Mr. Donald's cranium. The team was allowed to return to the States once they had undergone an extensive quarantine and decontamination process, and all relevant authorities chose to keep the incident quiet. Despite some initial reservations, both Dr. Caldwell and I agreed that the discovery of the previously unknown cave system and the samples of Phorobus oraculi collected within confirmed Anna's abilities beyond a reasonable doubt. As such, ISFA began a series of research initiatives into the apocalyptic events she foresaw, one of which involved surveillance of a group of individuals referred to by Anna as the Searchers. Hence, your presence in this room. And that brings us up to date, I believe. Any questions?
Robinson.
What was that, Bill?
David Robinson, your researcher? David Nathan Robinson, right?
Yes. Though you might know him better as Horesium. Soon after returning to the U.S., he disappeared into the Templi Prophetum compound and quickly took over as the primary religious figurehead of the cult. The timeline is still a little unclear, but we believe he collected an undocumented sample of Phorobus oraculi before leaving the cave and smuggled it back to the U.S. once he'd cleared quarantine. We're unsure what his exact motivations were, but some variant of that fungus soon became the focal point of worship within the cult, leading to its eventual collapse and Mr. Robinson's death and transformation.
Why didn't you stop him?
We considered it, but once he'd integrated himself into the power structure of the cult, we couldn't remove him without alerting local authorities. We couldn't tip our hand to Morrison like that. Not yet. Confronting Robinson was out of the question.
You didn't seem to have any problem confronting Ned.
And we still might pay for that. We're a research institute. A well-funded private institute with a great deal of operational autonomy. But we're not some kind of hit squad. We research. We investigate. We contain threats where possible and necessary. But intervention is always a last resort.
That's still no excuse to let all those people get hurt.
It wasn't my call.
What did Anna tell Craig that night before he died?
We're not entirely sure. Like I said, there are no records of that night, and she didn't tell me.
Did you know him?
Yeah. Not very well, but he was nice. Funny. Just really, really friendly. I met him a few times on Anna's trips to Europe, but I didn't know what happened to him.
What do you think she told him? You clearly have some idea.
Unfortunately, I do. It's clear that she blamed herself for Craig's death. Not just for the fact that he was up the mountain in the first place, but that she felt directly responsible for the events leading up to his death.
She wasn't, though, right? I mean, she couldn't know what was going to happen in that cave.
She might not have remembered her dreams clearly, but there was some element of them that disturbed her, particularly when it came to Craig's involvement. I believe she dreamed about Craig's death, and that she told him.
So she thought...
She theorized that her prophecies were not predictions of fixed events. They could be unreliable at times, at least in terms of small details. But after what happened in Poland, she began to suspect her prophecies might be self-fulfilling. That conscious knowledge of the future only makes that future inevitable, and whatever actions people take to prevent it only bring it about faster.
But if that's the case, then why are you trying to prevent this apocalypse that she saw? I mean, is that even possible?
I said she believed it. I don't. While it's true that observation can change the state of particles in a quantum system, cause and effect are far too complicated for that to hold in the macroscopic world. I have to believe she was wrong. I have to believe we can change that future.
And you want our help?
Yes. Dr. Caldwell has requested that I offer everyone in this room a full contract of employment as an independent research consultant for ISFA, effective immediately upon your decision. You'll all be required to sign a blanket NDA, of course, but trust me, it's a good deal. You'll be provided with room and board both here at Merryweather and in the field, along with a regular salary equal to or greater than your current income and a stipend to cover any incidental expenses. More importantly, we'll keep you off Morrison's radar and protected from any reprisals he might attempt. The same offer will, of course, be extended to Robert and Jerry as soon as they arrive, though they will not be expected to participate in your investigations unless they choose to. I'm sorry to spring this all on you so suddenly, but we need your decision fairly quickly. There's a team leaving this facility in less than 24 hours to investigate a potential haunting in Allegheny National Forest, and we'd like you to join them. Your flights to and from Pittsburgh will be covered as well. Private charter, well off Morrison's radar. You'll be there and back in less than a week.
What about my family?
And what about them?
They're supposed to meet me in Oslo.
I suggest you tell them to stay home.
And they'll be safe there?
As safe as they can be, I assume. Why?
I'm going to kill you all the next time I see you. That's what Morrison said to me. If I wouldn't be safe in my own home, then why would my family?
I see your point. If we offered Peter the same arrangement, do you think he'd accept it?
He would if I asked him to. And if Andrew can stay here as well.
Are you sure you want to bring a kid into all this? I mean, this place is kind
of... It might be the only place where we're safe for Morrison. I want my family here, where I know they're protected.
What about the rest of you? Bill? Sam? Maria? I know your financial situation is a little unstable at the moment.
Tell me about it.
And I'm sure this isn't how you saw this year going, but we need your help. If we're going to find the trigger for Anna's apocalypse and prevent it, then we need outside perspectives on the supernatural. People who know the world Anna operated in. And if Anna is still out there somewhere, then I suspect the best way to look for her is to follow in her footsteps. See what breadcrumbs she left for us to find.
Can we have some time to think about this?
Is there something missing from our offer?
No, it's all... It's very generous, but this is all just... really sudden.
Sure. Take as much time as you need. I mean, it's not the end of the world or anything.
The Sheridan Tapes, Episode 51, Vox Aeternum. Starring Ezra J. Wayne as Ned Theroux, Mike Kennedy as Edgar Morrison, Sam Taylor as Ren Park, Aaron Neely Jaconis as Anna Sheridan, Chris Allison as Daniela Caldwell, Kareem Promptley as David Robinson, Paul Warren as Craig Donnell, Virginia Spots as Kate Sheridan, Amitola Lomas as Maria Soule, Trevor Van Winkle as Sam Bailey, and Jesse Steele as Bill Tyler, with original music by Jesse Hogan. Written by Trevor Van Winkle and produced by Virginia Spots, with dialogue editing and sound design by Trevor Van Winkle. Visit thesheridantapes.com to view additional content, rate and review us on your podcatcher of choice, and connect with us on Twitter at Sheridan Tapes and on Instagram at The Sheridan Tapes. I'm Trevor Van Winkle, this is Homestead on the Corner, and you're listening to The Sheridan Tapes.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.